Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Children's Literature Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, this is actually things that elementary school kids wrote in papers and exams.
Oh, so this isn't literature like for children, it's by children.
It's by children.
Okay.
I mean, some of these were clearly tests of some kind, like this one. You can see, what are the parts of speech? The answer was, the parts of speech are the lungs and air.
Well, I can't argue. How about the lips?
The inhabitants of Moscow are called mosquitoes. This is a good one. Water is composed of two gins, oxygen and hydrogen. Oxygen is pure gin. Hydrogen is gin with water. Yeah, I mean, it's clever how they come up if it's true. The general, what is the general direction of the Alps? The general direction of the Alps is straight up.
I agree with that, too.
I got a couple more. You want some more?
Absolutely.
Iron was discovered because someone smelt it.
Perfect.
And the spinal column is a long bunch of bones. The head sits on the top and you sit on the bottom. It all makes perfect sense.
Just like our answers. So if you'd like some answers that are as inane as these, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8825.
Yeah, you know, a lot of our answers, I like that. It sounds right.
But, hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Debbie calling from Orlando, Florida.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
Debbie.
I am well. And yourself?
Orlando.
Yes.
We're doing great. Do you work at Disney World?
I work on the Disney World property.
Oh, you're not one of those people who has a husband who's wearing a white belt and white shoes?
Not today.
What's going on, Debbie?
What's up?
Well, I have a 94 Isuzu pickup, and it's a manual transmission. And whenever, over the last 3 weeks, when I've been getting up to the high speed in my gear, it starts to make this great squealing noise that makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up rather straight.
So when you get into fifth gear?
Any gear.
Oh, any gear.
Right. If I'm in first and I get up to 20, if I'm second, I get up to 30, if I'm third, you know, so on. And in fifth, my real concern is that, you know, I used to be able to run at 80 miles per hour. Don't tell anyone. And
but the sound is killing you.
Well, now I can't get over 65 without the sound kicking in.
And how many miles are on this Isuzu pickup?
Oh, gosh. I want to say 130.
Well, make the noise. What's it sound like?
It says...
Oh.
Sounds like seagulls hovering
the garbage
scow.
What sounds like the mice that run my car are running out?
Does it sound like it's coming from under the hood?
Yes.
It could be something as simple as a belt.
Don't say that because my brother said that. I told him I wouldn't listen to him.
It could be.
Could be, and that would be easy to find.
Okay.
Because here's what you do.
Okay.
Get someone who needs a haircut.
Okay.
Open the hood and tell him to stick his head in the fan while it's turning.
That's priceless.
I mean, it could be something as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's think of what else it could be.
Well,
it sounds like it's related to the speed of the engine.
Mm-hmm.
And not the speed of the vehicle. In other words,
right,
if it's happening all the time at 3,000 RPM or above,
right,
then in fact it would make no difference whether you were doing 30 miles an hour. Once you hit that, or 60, once the tachometer hit 3,000, that's when you would begin to get the noise.
Exactly.
So it could be a loose belt, or it could be a loose, something like a loose idler pulley, which is a pulley that the belt runs around to get from one accessory to another, or it could be the belt tensioner. And,
okay.
And any one of those things, but you can reproduce.
It could be the alternator, for example.
It could be the alternator or the water pump, but you can reproduce this noise without moving the vehicle. I think if you sat there and you revved it up and brought the RPM up to where it typically makes the noise, you would be able to hear the noise, and you find it very easily. And what we do when we run into situations like this, if we suspect it's one of the accessories, we'll take the belt off completely.
Oh.
Okay, this vehicle probably has more than one belt.
Many. I've looked in there, and
yeah,
it's a little confusing.
It has three.
Yeah.
So you start taking them off one at a time until the noise goes away, and then you'll find out, oh, it's my power steering pump that's no good. It's very difficult to turn, and therefore the pump needs to be replaced, and it's not the belt.
Now, tell me this. Is this going to cost me that much to get fixed?
If the belts are just loose, or it's a tensioner or an idler pulley, it's cheap. Less than $100.
Okay, good.
If the air conditioner compressor's gone,
right,
it's $500.
And I don't think it's that, because the air conditioner works fine, and it doesn't increase or change when the air conditioner's on or off.
Okay, well, that's good.
That's good.
It could still be the air conditioner, but we won't go there.
Okay.
Because I can tell you're getting nervous.
Oh, yeah, I am.
Good luck, Debbie.
But, you know, with the engine running, and someone with just a piece of rubber hose will figure it out in 5 minutes.
Oh, perfect.
And if they don't, hit them with the hose. See you, Debbie.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-228-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Lou Ann from Little Valley, New York.
Lou Ann, L-U or L-O-U?
L-U, capital A-N-N.
How sweet.
And where are you from again?
Little Valley, New York.
But Lou Ann sounds more like a southern name.
Oh, I know. I never liked my name growing up. The only Lou Ann I knew was Gomer Pyle's girlfriend.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? You know, there is no person on this earth that I, how can I say this?
Wish that name on?
No, that if I were going to be trapped somewhere, there's no person I would want less than Gomer Pyle.
Really?
I can't stand the sight of that jerk.
Is it Gomer Pyle you don't like or Jim Nabors?
That's why.
Whatever. Well, I don't know who Jim Nabors is,
well,
but
I, mean, for
I
example,
know the Gomer
I mean,
Pyle character.
I wouldn't want to be stuck with Hannibal Lecter.
But
Anthony Hopkins seems like I would like to be stuck with him.
I would rather be with Hannibal Lecter than have to spend...
And he'll gnaw your leg off. you won't have to gnaw your own leg off.
What an obnoxious character.
Really?
Gomer Pyle was. Oh, my God.
I take it you weren't a fan of the show.
I was
Gomer
not.
Pyle USMC. All right, anyway, Luann, what's going on?
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I drive a 96 Honda Accord, and after I would drive about 30 minutes and park and get out, I could smell toast.
Toast?
Well, and my husband couldn't smell anything, but I was worried about something burning, like brakes or something like that. Well, now the smell has advanced to burnt toast.
Really?
So I have a theory, but
well, let's
I
hear it because
expert.
No, I'm gonna like it. I can tell.
Well, my husband thinks I'm nuts, but I think it is nuts.
Nuts.
I think some chipmunk or something is storing nuts in my car somewhere.
Exactly. I agree with you 100%.
Oh, thank you.
Golly! Shut up! Golly! Well, look, Luann.
I'm leaving. That's it. See you later. I can't stand it.
He left.
I'm leaving, and I'm never coming.
All right, just me and you.
Well, my question is, where do we ask our mechanic to look so it doesn't cost us an arm and a leg for his time ripping out things that he shouldn't?
Well, he'll probably find them right away. I'm guessing that they're right on the exhaust manifold.
Well, there could be the easiest place for chipmunks and squirrels to put them is right on top of the engine.
Okay.
And that would make sense because if you were to open the engine, 96 Accord is probably a four-cylinder. If you look, the exhaust manifold is on the front of the motor, I think. I'm trying to remember where the exhaust manifold is. Well,
it's
could be
on the front of the motor.
I think it's on the front of the motor, but that's the hottest thing under there, and that would roast your nuts faster than anything. and if those acorns are getting roasted, it's going to smell like some carbohydrate burning.
Okay.
And of course, the longer they roast, the more it smells like something is burned.
I mean, you might have.
It's not an unpleasant aroma, is it?
No, it doesn't smell real good unless you like burnt food.
Yeah, well,
you should eat at my house. There you go.
Joanne's online too already. The phone's lit up, baby.
You know how we know when dinner's ready? When the smoke alarm goes off.
Here's the other possibility. If the squirrels aren't squirreling their nuts on top of your exhaust manifold, the other place where they could be, and it could be not the squirrels doing it, they could be lodged between the catalytic converter and its heat shield.
Okay.
Yeah, well, good luck.
Well, thank you. And I just want to say we love your show. We listen to you every Saturday morning. And today's my birthday. So being able to talk to the famous Tappet brothers has made this birthday very special.
You want us to sing happy birthday to you?
No, that's okay.
Well, happy birthday. Golly!
Shut up!
See you, Luann.
Thank you.
See, I never knew that Gomer. Well, I don't think I ever watched Gomer Pyle enough to learn the name of his girlfriend.
I tell you how much. I mean, this is
how vitriolic it is. I mean, how much you hate the guy? What?
If I'm flipping through the stations, one of the stations plays. I think it's called TV Land, and they play all the stuff from the, I don't know, 50s, 60s, 20s. I don't know what it is. And every once in a while, just, I mean, when I flip through the channels, I'm not on a channel for a second. I mean, because I can tell immediately that I don't want to watch it. But in that second, if it's going to pile, I have to get up and puke.
Jeez.
My God.
You might be able to delete that station somehow. I'm sorry that it's had such an effect on you. 1-888
You spoiled my whole day.
Car talk. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Howie from Hopewell, New Jersey.
Hi, Howie.
How are you doing?
Well, we're doing great. What's going on in Hopewell?
Well, my wife and I have a little bit of a conflict automotive, and she said, call you guys. So here we are.
Yeah.
It should be automotif, no? Conflict.
Yeah, conflict.
Automotive.
I had that the other night for dessert.
Well, you probably can't get it at Hopewell.
So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. So we have a 15-year-old daughter who in about 6 months will be getting her learner's permit and go on to drive.
Yeah, tell me about it.
And the conflict is, should she learn on a standard transmission or an automatic transmission? And while my wife isn't here, I'll indicate her argument is that with a standard transmission, there are more distractions, and she may be stuck in the middle of the road, and the car would stop, and then she would be hit.
And your position is?
With a standard transmission, which, of course, is more fun, she would be paying more attention to her driving, spending less time maybe looking at other things, playing with other toys in the car.
See, now you're a deep end of the pool kind of guy, right? You think that if you're going to teach a kid to swim, you just toss them in the deep end.
Yes.
And whatever happens, happens,
and
right?
And also, when there were no automatic transmissions, everybody had to learn that way.
Yeah, but you know what the difference is? And I'm going to side with your wife, Howie.
Of course. Ooh. Your wife is absolutely right. We're both going to side with your wife.
And I'll tell you why I would side with your wife, is that when my brother learned to drive, there weren't that many distractions. In fact, there weren't any other cars on the road. So when you had to learn to drive stick shift.
You know what my car sounded, that first car I drove, you know what it sounded like?
And it was, I mean, think of your daughter driving on the Jersey Turnpike.
No.
No, not really.
You don't want to think about
not
that.
Not a pretty
thing. You don't want it to have any more to do than to just guide the car to safety every day. And I think throwing in the stick shift part of it just adds another level of complexity to an otherwise already complex process.
How about another argument my friend Jose made?
Okay, go ahead.
He argues that she's a girl, and there may come a time when she has to be able to get out and get away, and the only available
I'm not saying that she should never learn how to drive a stick shift. I'm simply saying that she should learn how to drive first. Because once she has mastered and become comfortable with the steering wheel, the shift lever, the automatic, drive, park, drive, park, the steering wheel, the brakes, the gas pedal, once she's familiar with all that and comfortable with them, then she can learn to drive the stick.
But my 18-year-old daughter, who learned on an automatic and now drives an automatic, has been absolutely impossible to teach her, both to get her interested and to teach her how to use a standard, and that's what my concern was.
That's because she hasn't had the Ray Magliozzi system.
That is?
he'll be on cable TV with Carlton Sheets.
Right, no money down.
No money down. Sheets, as we call them.
Yeah, I'm convinced that I can teach anyone to drive stick shift in half an hour.
Ooh, I've failed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, could cost you a clutch. But you'll learn by the end of the half an hour. And I've taught a lot of people to drive with my method, which I, of course, can't divulge to you because it's going to cost you
$49.95. Three easy payments of $49.95.
To get the videotape.
Yeah, and the DVD.
Yeah, and if you're
and the clutch plate.
we throw in a clutch plate. If you're old. Right, tell us what make and model your car is. Send three payments of $49.95. We'll mail you a new clutch, too. But if your older daughter isn't driving, it isn't the end of the world that she isn't driving stick shift. In fact, my wife of 30-odd years, how many years?
She's 30, pretty young. 30, a lot younger than you, huh?
No, yeah, 32 years we've been married. Just this summer learned to drive stick shift, even though I taught her some years ago.
So there's hope.
There's hope. So.
Yeah, no, she'll learn.
But I think every kid who doesn't know how to do it should at least have a lesson or two. Because you never know, in a pinch, you may have to drive a stick shift, and it's nice to know at least the rudiments of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we may have achieved that point.
Yeah, well, that's good enough.
Yeah, and as long as you got there and they know that your first gear is where you start off and fifth gear is where you wind up when you're going at high speed, that's good enough.
Okay.
They'll figure out
the rest.
And
I'll quote for you my dear departed uncle, who, when I bought myself an MGA, he couldn't get in the car, but he did look in the car because the top was down. And he looked and he said, "It's a stick shift." And I said, "Of course, it's a sports car." He looked at me and he said, "We waited 50 years for the automatic transmission and you bought a stick? What are you, nuts?" Don't listen to him.
See ya, Howie.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, look, it's time for us to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll answer last week's puzzler, which was about an atomic watch.
I don't wear a watch.
Yeah, I know. So how do you know when it's time not to go to work?
That's easy. It's always time not to go to work.
I guess so. We'll be back with the story of the atomic watch and more of your car questions in just a minute.
So please stay tuned.
And even though prospective car buyers refuse the optional sound system whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a prison warden and need to send inmates running back to their cells.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler.
Watches. Atomic watches.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I remembered. And this puzzler came in. I had to play around a little bit. This came in from a fellow named Dave Riddell. And you ready?
Yeah, yeah.
My brainy, smarty pants nephew recently received as a gift a snazzy new atomic watch.
Sounds dangerous to me.
Well, it's not nuclear powered, if that's what you're worried about. An atomic watch is a watch that receives a radio signal from the atomic clock in, I believe, Fort Collins, Colorado.
Wow.
And it's beamed out all over the country. And when your watch receives this signal, it synchronizes it. Right?
Yeah.
So this watch is accurate to like 1 second every 6,000 years or something like that.
That's important. Kids need that kind of accuracy.
They
sure really they
do. Oh, yeah. I mean, the school bus is running very tight schedules where this kid lives, evidently. Anyway, this watch never needs to be set. In fact, it doesn't even have a stem to set the time, right?
Okay.
Now, the styling is very sleek and very modern. No numbers, no stem, obviously. Just 12 little dots. And, of course, the two hands. It is a smooth, featureless expansion band. In fact, the whole thing is very simple and elegant, actually, and perfectly symmetrical. So I studied this fancy timepiece for a few minutes and looked at it very carefully, and I said, "I think this watch is stupid." And he says, "What do you mean? My watch is stupid." And I explained why I thought it was stupid, and he thought about what I said, and he said, "You're wrong, piston puss." As it turns out, the little twerp was correct. The watch wasn't stupid in the way I thought it was. So the question is this. What was my critique? What was I wrong about?
Whoa.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what I felt was stupid about the watch was that it could be put on upside down.
Oh.
Right? Now, you know, how do you know which way to put your watch on? There's a stem on the watch.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And there are numbers on watches. So,
yeah.
So this had neither of those. Right?
Yeah.
And I was wrong because you can't put a watch on upside down. You can always tell when a watch is upside down by the relative position of the two hands. There is no time during the day when the hands of a watch represent a valid time when it is upside down. Look at 6 o'clock. When it's 6 o'clock,
yeah,
right, the hour hand points straight at the 6, and the minute hand points straight up.
Yeah.
If you turn that thing 180 degrees,
yeah,
it, you say it's 12:30, but it's not 12:30.
It's not, because the little hand is pointed straight up.
And it has to be halfway between the 12 and the 1. So, in fact, if you could discern with accuracy where the one hand is, where the hour hand is,
yeah,
you wouldn't even need the minute hand on a clock.
Exactly.
So it can't be put upside down. So my critique was ill-founded and what? Stupid. Anyway, do we have a winner?
We certainly do. Our winner this week is Paul Long from Edgewood, Kentucky. And for having his answer selected at random from all the correct answers that we got, Paul's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division, with which he can get a set of Car Talk reusable shopping bags.
Hey, you know, these are turning out to be very popular at the supermarkets, at least among people who like to be mocked while they shop.
Yeah, that's me.
Well, congratulations, Paul, for being this week's Puzzler winner. And if you didn't win this week, stay tuned because we have a new Puzzler coming up. In the meantime, we'll take your calls. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Is that enough digits? Is that enough numbers? I don't know.
Yeah,
hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Madeline from L.A.
Hi, Madeline.
Madeline, what a sexy voice you have.
Ooh, thank you.
Yeah, you should be in radio.
You're from L.A., you said. Are you an actress?
No, I'm not. I'm a writer.
A writer?
Mystery?
No, actually, human interest.
Human interest?
Human interest.
What interests us humans?
Yes, it does. In fact, you're interesting here.
You started to tell us what kind of car you had, and I interrupted you, and I'm terribly sorry. No, I'm not really. But what kind of car do you have?
I have a 2000 Volvo S80.
And
on Friday, it started making this weird sound. It was going ka-thunk, 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 sort of like it had a flat tire. But it didn't. Then it started making a kind of a rubbing sound, like, along with ka-thunk, ka-thunk, ka-thunk. And then after that, it started making kind of a high-pitched squealing sound, like, along with...
You were on the freeway doing like 80 when this happened, or what?
No, actually, I was driving in front of the police station, so I was going the speed limit.
Oh, of course.
Which you rarely do, I gather.
Yeah.
Where did it sound like this? Were all these sounds coming from the same place? Or
yeah, from the undercarriage. Sort of like I had run over something.
Like right underneath you?
Yeah.
So the first thing you heard was the clunk, clunk, clunk.
Right, just like a flat tire, but the tires weren't flat.
And did you feel anything in the steering wheel when that noise occurred?
Nothing. It handles perfectly.
Was the frequency of the clunk, 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 or any of the other noises in step with the speed of the car? In other words, if you stopped moving, did the noises go away?
Yes, and it speeds up when I drive faster, and it slows down when I go slower.
Had you had brake work done recently?
No.
No. You're going to have it done. I mean, it sounded to me, when you started to describe it, like a brake pad had broken apart.
Yeah, me too. Or it sounded like one of the bolts may have come out of one of the front calipers.
Ah. Okay.
So that the caliper was...
twisted.
As the wheel was turning, the caliper was getting pulled up and then hitting the inside of the alloy wheel... and then being pushed down again, and that would give you a glunk, 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 glunk.
Exactly.
And it would account for, and it wouldn't affect the handling.
It would account for all of the sounds, actually.
So what you're saying is I should probably have the sixth?
You probably should have. I mean, what do? Just keep driving all day?
Well, I get it fixed whenever the idiot light comes on.
Yeah, I know. But you're going to die otherwise, Madeline. No, this could be life-threatening.
Oh yeah.
How many miles do you have in this car?
50,000.
You know, I'll tell you another thing we replace on these cars all the time, and I'm trying to figure out how it would make this noise. These cars go through ball joints pretty fast.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I've had ball joints that have gone bad, and it doesn't sound like this.
Well, but you may never have had one that broke.
Oh, okay.
But I'm hard-pressed to figure out how a ball joint would make this wonderful combination of noises and be proportional to the speed of the car.
Well, only if it affected the axle. Because this car is front-wheel drive, it would tend, if the ball joint broke, to pull the axle out of the transmission, and that could, or at least start to pull the axle apart, and that could cause the clunk, 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 because the CV joints are broken.
I still go with the brakes.
I do too, but whatever it is, you're going to die. If you don't fix it.
Well, thank you, but we're all going to die.
Yeah, but you're going to die sooner.
Yeah. We'll be reading about you.
Yeah. I want to die quietly in my bed, not like the passengers in Grandpa's car.
Screaming. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling.
Oh, God. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Tim from Pittsburgh.
Hey, Tim, what's going on?
Not much. I've got a 95 Saturn. And it burns a little oil, about a quart and a half every 3,000 miles. It's got about 80,000 miles on it. And what I want to know is I've got a friend who's got a Civic who had a similar problem when his car got to around 100,000 miles, and he decided it'd be a good idea to go to an oil replenishment system instead of changing it. And I want to know if this would be, is this okay to do? Is this a good idea?
Man, this is one of the most bogus theories. I thought this had been debunked decades ago. I guess the theory is, if you're burning, let's say you're burning a quart a week,
mm-hmm.
then the theory, even if it's a month, right?
Yeah.
And in 4 months, you've burned four quarts and therefore replaced four quarts. The whole thing only holds four quarts. So you say, well, if I had changed it every 4 months, why would I have to change it? I've already changed it. I put in four new quarts.
Right.
The reason that the rationale doesn't really work is because you are, in fact, adding four quarts of oil over some number of months.
Right.
But you're never taking out the dirt.
Okay.
Because you're never draining it. And so the reason you change the oil is, first of all, to take out the dirt, and second of all, to put new oil in.
So your thinking is that you don't have to do any more oil changes.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Is that that's his thinking. I feel like a moron every time I go out there and I'm changing my oil every 3,000 miles now, and I know it's down a quart, and I'm only pulling three quarts out of it.
Well, exactly. So here's my point. If it, in fact, is using up a quart every 3,000 miles, then instead of adding a quart to that dirty oil, you're going to just change it anyway.
Right.
So the usage is actually invisible to you.
That's true. That's true. To me, it is invisible, right?
As long as, if it were me, I'd add the quart and then drain it. But if you're smart enough not to do that, it is invisible to you.
Yeah, so you should just, every 3,000 miles, you should just continue to change your oil. I mean, in fact, I'd be almost happier that it's burning a quart of oil.
It takes less time to drain.
Yeah, and you're kind of getting your money's worth as well. I'm not throwing away four quarts of oil. I'm only throwing away three. It's good for the environment. So I would just continue to change your oil as long as the consumption doesn't get any worse.
Okay.
But what your friend is doing is almost the equivalent of vacuuming your house without ever changing the vacuum bag. At some point, the bag gets full, and even though the thing makes noise, it doesn't accomplish any cleaning.
Okay.
So
which really doesn't matter if you're a guy. As long as it looks good.
As long
I vacuumed
as...
again, hon.
I used to just rearrange the furniture, and my wife would think I vacuumed.
See, uh-huh. Doug actually went out, and just to impress his wife, I think, he bought a vacuum cleaner that you strap to your back.
Wasn't to impress his wife.
And he walks around the house with this vacuum cleaner on his back, and his wife must say, oh, what a guy. Look at him. He's vacuuming again. He doesn't even turn it on.
No. He walks around and goes,
well, as long as it makes lines in the carpet, that's all that matters.
You got it.
That's it.
You're married, aren't you, Tim?
That's right. I do the vacuuming. So
as long as it makes lines in the carpet. I never thought of that.
Yeah, I don't even have a vacuum. I've got a little bar with rollers on it I just push around.
A paint roller is nice.
Right.
Well, you know, I wouldn't resort to what your friend does yet.
But you have, in fact, resorted to it.
No, he hasn't
car.
Yet.
You.
Oh, I have.
Yeah.
Oh, no, in fact, I've gone even... Well, interestingly...
Yeah. My brother has a test car.
I have... You know,
he's testing the limits.
I'm testing the limits. I have a Dodge Colt Vista, which is an 87, which has got a gajillion miles on it. And I decided some years ago that I would stop changing the oil. Now, interestingly, I don't even get to do what your friend does because my car doesn't use any oil at all.
Really?
Mm-hmm. No, in all the years I've been doing this, I think it's 3 or 4 years now.
Yeah.
I've only added one quart of oil, and that was because I decided to change the filter recently. It looked like it was going to rust away and fall off. So before that happened and caused a disaster, I didn't want the experiment to be curtailed by something as foolish as that. So you can do that. But I wouldn't resort to this yet, Tim.
Okay.
But I like to think the lines in the rug. I got to remember that.
Get a paint roller. That's all you need.
See you later, man.
Okay. Bye-bye.
1-888-CARD.
I mean, we should add the caveat that if you really don't care, he's got 80,000 miles on that car now. If he's really planning to get rid of that car in a year or two, he could really stop doing everything. It doesn't really matter. It's going to go a year or two no matter what he does.
Well, here's what's wrong
with
that.
The only thing that's wrong with that is it's a terrible thing to do to the environment because it means that the car dies sooner than it had to.
Yeah.
And so as soon as it does, that means another one's going to enter the system. And we're making enough of the stupid things already. We should at least try to keep the ones that we got on the road running forever. And then we don't have to make any more.
Does it have to be the Colt Vista, though?
It does have to be. Whatever it is, it is.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Gail. I'm calling from Bend, Oregon.
Bend, Oregon.
Hi,
yes.
Gail. G-A-Y-L-E or G-A-I-L?
G-A-I-L.
G-A-I-L.
It's nice and simple, no frills.
Well, I have a real quick question.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what kind of car would handle well in the snow and ice, or if I can do something to what I'm already driving so that I don't go sliding through stop signs and around the roundabouts the wrong way.
Like you have been doing.
Like I have been doing.
What are you driving?
I am driving a Ford Econoline 15-passenger van with a 6-cylinder engine.
Oh.
And I know, you can't get much worse. But
you really can't.
You can't get much worse, and there's nothing you can do.
Here's the catch. We've got 8 kids.
Man.
So what can we drive rather, or do we bump off my husband and just, go with the Suburban?
Well, geez, I know. How old?
So you
what's
have
the
to
oldest
fit
of
10
the kids?
People.
The oldest is 12, so they're going to be around for a while.
Jeez.
So, the first thing you want, we got two basic criteria. We got to fit 10 people, and we need all-wheel drive.
Well, I think Chevy has a new van that's all-wheel drive.
Would even a four-wheel drive passenger van handle better than like a Suburban or an Expedition?
No, an Expedition and a Suburban would be better.
But
than
they
a
won't
van.
Hold 10 people.
Well, we've talked about, do we just need to start taking 2 cars when we go somewhere?
Have you considered military school for a couple of the kids? That would get them out of your hair.
More often than you know.
Are you planning, are there any more in the oven, as they say, or is this it?
Well, it's going to depend on the car.
Really?
Jeez. So, let me get this straight.
You're some vimmins, Gail.
do you live like in the suburbs, and so you're driving the kids to school every day and to soccer practice and all that junk?
Well, we live out in the country, so we're about 20 minutes from town, but we homeschool. But our kids are in swimming, and, we do flute, we do piano, scouts, so I'm in the car all the time.
But not with 8 kids.
Well, a lot of the time with 8 kids,
because
the older kids are the ones going to the swim practice, so I can't leave the little ones by themselves.
No, you need to
you
go
can't.
Out. You need to spring for this all-wheel drive Chevy van. I mean,
okay.
The truth of the matter is that what you're driving is dangerous.
So do you think that the all-wheel drive van is going to handle enough better?
Yeah,
that
it's
going
to be a lot
sense?
Better than what you have for a lot of reasons.
Immeasurably.
But you can, don't forget, you have to use a level head, too. Just because you have all-wheel drive doesn't mean you can go anywhere. You can still spin out on a roundabout or a rotary or whatever you want to call them. And,
right.
and crash into a tree. So you have to, you have to exercise caution when the weather's bad, but it'll be better than what you have.
Okay.
Jeez, well, good luck, Gail, and
wish you the best, and
keep the home fires burning.
Eight? What are you, crazy?
8 is enough. Golly! See you later.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, look, it's time for us to take a brief little respite.
A respite? How civilized. Are we going to have a repast during our respite?
Well, I'm going to pass something, but I don't think it would be very civilized to discuss it.
We'll be back with a brand new puzzler and more of your calls, so please stay tuned.
And even though classical music listeners get ear cramps whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. Oh, by the way, what was I listening to the other day? Someone was getting debriefed. But they could come up with a new word. I mean, they really do, don't they?
Well,
yeah. Well, so-and-so is being debriefed. I don't think I want to get debriefed. They really do. That's, I mean,
yeah.
I know where the word came from, but.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, the same word means many different things in this here language.
Yes, it does. I mean, there are times when you'd like to be debriefed, but not by the Army brass. Anyway, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and, of course, the new Puzzler. Here it is. Seems that there's this fellow who owns a record store in town, and he hires some pimply-faced high school kid who's working on Saturdays, and he says to the kid, look, he said, you know what to do. He said, but I got one little extra thing for you to do. He said, I've got some records that I'm selling, used records, 45s, I'm selling for my friend Sam. He said, there are two piles over here. Each pile consists of 30 records. You got that? And the kid says, yeah, sure, 30 records in a pile. Now, the records in the first pile are two for a buck. In the other pile, they're three for a buck. Can you handle this, kid? The kid says, no problemo. These are two for a buck, and the other ones are three for a buck. The owner says, but I don't want you to put the money in the register.
Because I got to give it to Sam.
Because I got to give it to Sam, and I don't know if we're going to sell these stupid records, and if I don't, I got to give them the records back and all that. So put the money from those sales into this cigar box, which is under the counter. And the kid says, fine. So the first day goes by. At the end of the day, the owner comes back to the record store, and certainly he finds out that all of the records have been sold. They're all gone. And he opens the box, and as you would expect, there was $25 in the cigar box. Why? Because the two for a dollar ones sold for a total of $15, and the other ones, the three for a dollar, they sold for $10, right? $25. As luck would have it, encouraged by the rapid sale of these records, which nobody wanted, the next week Sam shows up with 60 more records.
Oh.
And the owner then gives the kid the same instructions. He says,
three for a dollar, two for a dollar.
Three for a dollar, two for a dollar, two more piles of 30 records each. So the kid says, well, look, he said, you know, I noticed last week that people were taking two records from one pile, three records from another pile. So I decided that this week, I'm not going to sell them at two for a dollar, three for a dollar, five for $2. And the fellow who owns the record store says,
sure.
Seems like a good idea. I mean, why not?
Well, it is the same, isn't it?
It is.
Three for a buck, two.
So at the end of the day,
$2.
5 o'clock, the fellow comes and he opens the cigar box. It's $24 in there. He says, hey, you're missing a dollar. The kid says, no. He says, I sold all the records. He says, you're missing a dollar. There should be $25. I'm going to hear it from Sam. The question is, where's the missing dollar? Is there a missing dollar? Did the kid steal it?
Is there a missing dollar, and where is it?
And where exactly. Is there a missing dollar, and where is it? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or the back of a $20 bill to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. But right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, you can give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Rich. I live in Cape Coral, Florida, but I'm calling from Carthage, Missouri.
Hi, Rich.
Cape Coral, Florida, Carthage, Missouri.
Yeah.
What are you doing out there in Missouri?
I drive 18-wheeler, and I'm currently delivering a load of frozen turkey wings.
Really?
Huh.
Well, my question is about my 18-wheeler.
Yeah.
The fuel gauge is completely useless. It's completely unreliable. So I have gone with a very low-tech method. I have gotten a wooden dowel, which I use as a dipstick.
Yeah, sure.
Now, the tanks on my 18-wheeler are cylinder-shaped, but they're on their sides, right?
Right. We know you got saddle tanks or whatever they call those things, right?
Precisely.
Yeah.
My question is, now, when I stuck the dipstick in and I marked the level where the fuel is when the tank is completely full, happened to be 20 inches.
Yeah.
And I marked 10 inches as a half. My question is, how do I accurately mark 1/4 and 3/4? Because the correct answer, I'm sure, is not 5 and 15 inches.
You know it ain't.
Okay.
We need to know the angle that the stick enters the tank.
It's vertical.
It's vertical.
It's vertical.
And
yeah.
What's the diameter of the tank?
20 inches.
All right. Well, this is easy. Shall we go through the math?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it right now. We know that the volume of a cylinder is pi r squared h. So this thing you said is 20 inches
in diameter.
That's 100 pi times the height. And how long is it?
It makes no difference how long it is.
Doesn't matter.
You can do this in two dimensions.
I think you can do it in two dimensions, but I'm just being careful here.
Yeah, okay.
So
go ahead, I'll watch.
If the volume is 100 pi, whoa.
I'm going out for sandwiches. Forget volume. You can do it with area. I mean, just draw a circle.
I got a circle.
And draw a diameter.
I got it.
Okay, and then where would, if you wanted to split that semicircle into halves.
Yeah.
How would you do that?
I don't know.
That's the question.
Wow. Rich.
Well, if it makes it any easier, where 3/4 is not important, but where 1/4 is, one, is
yeah.
very important.
Well, if you figure out 1/4, you'll know 3/4.
I know.
Yeah, they're both going to be the same.
This ain't so easy.
This is not that
this
easy.
This is a calculus problem.
Get out.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah. It's area under the curve, man.
Oh, geez.
Right?
It is.
It's area under the... You'll have to call back next week.
Is it really a calculus problem? Gee, I think you might be right.
I think so.
Jeez, this is the kind of problem that's on the SAT.
What'd you get in the SATs?
I got an 800.
No, you didn't. No.
Combined.
There, I believe.
4 and 4. Wait, we should be able to do this. Jeez, Rich. Well, I mean, you have to err on the side of safety.
Now, I'm always a kind of a guy who takes a practical approach to problem solving.
Yeah.
Now, while it may be elegant to solve this with integral calculus, and I'm sure we could if we weren't under the gun, so to speak.
Yeah.
The way I would do it is this. There are lots of trucks just like yours out there, and you must stop at all the popular truck stops.
Oh, excellent.
You grab one of the guys and say, hey, anyone got a quarter of a tank? You take your stick, you stick it in this thing, and you put the notch on it.
I can work with that.
But wait, I thought this was a simple problem.
Well, you know what? The more I'm looking at it, the simpler it's getting. But it's we haven't got enough time. But I'll have the answer next week.
Okay.
Yeah,
you
tune
can email
in next
me
week,
the
Rich.
Yeah, leave us your email address. What Route 90 what?
Hey, you know, we have a lot of listeners who are 18-wheeler drivers.
Well, we get tired of listening to CB, so we switch to FM.
Well, yeah. Thanks for calling, and find someone who's got a quarter of a tank.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, Rich.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Boy, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed that we can't solve
under
that
the
problem, right? I know we're under the gun, but we're professionals. We...
You're going to get 5,000 emails.
We shouldn't be intimidated.
All right. Well, we'll work on it. In the meantime,
what we don't know, there is no formula for the area of pieces of circles.
Yeah, there is. You got to do it. Integrate between A and B and find the area. We'll figure it out. Just don't stay. I don't want you staying up until 3 a.m. working on this. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Diane calling from San Diego.
Hi, Diane from San Diego.
San Diego.
What's up?
Well, we have a dispute that I'm hoping you can help us resolve.
Who's we? Who are we?
Husband and myself.
Okay.
Okay, so we just purchased a brand new Jetta for our daughter, who is a sophomore in college. And the problem that we're having
is... How much whining did she have to do to get you to buy her this car?
A lot.
She
also had to tell us that she got stuck. The car died in Watts, and so...
Oh, that always does it.
Right. Okay, so...
The old car.
The old safety thing. Oh, my brake. I was so scared.
I was so scared. There was nobody on the road. It was 2 o'clock in the... Oh, what was I doing
she
out at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Of course
us.
She called you because you bought her. You gave her a cell phone. That had to cost you another 100 bucks a month. Okay, so go ahead. You're a sucker for this.
So the dispute that we're having has to do with whether or not it makes sense to put on an aftermarket paint sealant on the car. And my husband's view is that new cars already come with a clear coat of paint, and this is just another one of those dealer ripoffs.
He's right.
He's right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely right.
You don't even want to hear my side?
No.
Oh, you have a side?
But go ahead. We'll hear it.
Go ahead.
I figure, okay, that it can't hurt.
It's like chicken soup, right?
And anything that I can do to protect the car is probably worth it, because it's not like my daughter's going to be out there on the weekends in front of her dorm.
Is the dealership trying to sell this to you?
Of course.
Yeah.
How much do they want?
Well, it started out at $300, and as we stood there in the showroom arguing, the price dropped.
Yeah.
To $250.
Oh.
Well, you know the best part about this stuff is it's invisible. So you'll never know if they even did it. So they say, all right, we'll do it for $100.
In fact, they may have already done it. How would anybody know?
Yeah, they're just trying to see if they can get the money out of you now.
Yeah. I mean, there's an interesting product. You can't see it. They won't let you in the back to see that they're doing it. So you have absolutely no way of knowing
that it really exists.
That it even exists.
It's like religion.
And you're willing to pay $250 for it.
Uh-oh.
My God, Diane, aren't you ashamed?
Totally humbled.
I mean, even if we said this is the best thing in the world for your car, I would still be reluctant to pay $250 for something that I couldn't see. And I would, especially if I were buying it from an automobile dealer.
With plaid pants and white shoes.
But wasn't there a toothpaste that advertised the invisible protective shield?
Oh, yeah.
There was.
Yeah, Ipana.
Ipana.
Are they still around?
They don't make toothpaste, do they? It was one of those, the invisible protective shield. I remember seeing it on TV all the time.
Yeah, it was Ipana, and the year was 1957.
That was it.
Yeah.
Well. And so the VW has obviously...
Well, it's not just them. I mean, every car dealer tries to sell you
it's a ripoff.
This paint, and in our humble opinion, it's a ripoff. Did they try to sell you anything else, or was this the one and only thing?
This was the one and only thing. I mean, they had a few other.
He's going to have to turn in his white shoes.
Wait a minute, actually,
you know the one thing he didn't sell you, which you really probably should get for this car.
Yeah,
is an extended warranty. Yeah, because if you're planning to, obviously you're planning to keep this for a long time.
Yeah, we keep all our cars forever.
Yeah, and if you're planning to keep it forever, I think you might want the warranty.
Okay.
Because in our humble opinion, things go wrong with these cars.
So are you going to say to your husband, hon, you were right?
Well.
Or are you going to just forget about it?
And drop it.
I don't know. I'm going to have to think about it for a bit.
Yeah. I mean, has this been a topic of heated discussion?
Yes. We've gone through at least five of the six stages of argument.
You have?
Denial? What are the stages?
Yeah, denial, arguing, eating, begging, posturing, silence.
Oh, so you've got a lot invested in this. So
you're really good. You're going to have to eat some crow here, aren't you?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. What's your husband's name?
Charlie.
Can we call him?
No.
I just want to ask him if you told him or not.
I mean, maybe this goes back to, having grown up in Brooklyn and my mom had these sort of plastic covers on all the furniture in the living room.
Those were invisible protective shields, too.
Yeah.
We knew you were from Brooklyn and we were nice enough not to say anything about it. Because we know you're trying to pass down there in San Diego.
Yeah, how could you tell?
Yeah.
How can we tell? Because you said my daughter.
Yeah.
See, you thought 15 years of living in San Diego would get rid of it.
Yeah, you must have been a little nervous when you first started talking to us.
How long have you lived in San Diego?
2 years.
Two?
Only two, but I've been a lot of different places in between.
Right. It's been a long time since you've been in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Do they have classes in Brooklyn for when you're moving out of town? Like English as a second language?
Yes, exactly.
They
I had
do.
Years in high school.
Hey, well, good luck, Diana. Thanks for calling us. And if you don't tell your husband, it's between you and us.
Okay.
We will never say anything. You do what you think is best. What do we know about your relationship?
Yeah, we got Charlie online, too, so we'll be seeing you, Diane.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, there were two ball players in the early days of baseball that I think the Wehner brothers.
Wehner.
I think so, who played for Brooklyn. And they were known as Big Poison and Little Poison. I guess one of them was big guy and another was little.
Yeah.
Except
that's
that,
like Big Vinny and Little Vinny.
Yeah, except it wasn't Poison. It was Poison. Big but they became known to the rest of the league as Big Poison and Little Poison. Big Poison and Little Poison. Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly Nix, and Catherine Frau Blücher. Thank you, Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Chris Cuff and Emily Mackey. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Fort Drum Dried Plum Breadcrumb Papadum and Bubblegum Dim Sum, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our loss prevention associate is Natasha the Merchandise. Our staff clock watcher is Colette O'Day. Our cruise activity planner is Eaton Doolittle. Our practical joke evaluator is Odessa Goodwin. The manager of our employee refrigerator is Carmen Dating. Tommy's front yard designer is Roxanne DeBries. Our program transcriber is Diana Boredom. Our staff dietitian is Arlene Menu. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Outavindo. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the professors in tweed long johns in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
And remember, yes. Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1045, lope through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, what's the ugliest car now in production?
And it has to be currently in production.
Yeah.
Well, that rules out whatever's in your driveway. Actually, I don't know the answer, but there's a hot discussion going on right now at our website about which new car desperately needs to come standard with a car cover.
There's some real disagreement among our listeners.
Well, ugly, you know, is in the eye of the beholder.
That's right.
And you can behold now with your opinion in the discussion section of cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the three little pigs wish the big bad wolf would blow down our broadcast tower whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.